Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that emphasizes God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Thursday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm continuing a series on financial stewardship, and this is towards the end of my second week. I think that this is really timely for the situation that so many people find themselves in. And I've been talking about how that there is a God way to prosper. There is a prosperity that comes through this world. And according to Proverbs 10:22, the blessing of the Lord makes rich and he adds no sorrow with it. But the blessing of this world, the way that you prosper in the world system, there's all kinds of sorrow and pain. And that's what we're seeing today. A lot of people are experiencing the disappointment, the frustration. We've had people killing themselves over the fear about financial things. That's just a token that that's not God's system. You can prosper God's way, and regardless of what this world system of finances does, you can prosper. So we've already talked about that for 2 weeks. I've talked about how that you have to get the attitude that you are a steward. You need to see God as your source and recognize it's not your money, it's God's money. And if you would pray about it and let God lead you, he will show you things to come. You wouldn't enter into a lot of the things that have caused the financial ruin that people find themselves in today. We also talked about from Luke chapter 16, verse 10, that trusting God with your finances is the least use of your faith. It's the smallest display of faith. And if you can't do that which is least, you can't do that which is greatest. And so I've been talking about how that if you have not exercised your faith and trusted God in this area of finances, you may not have recognized this, but this could be the very thing that is keeping you from being healed or keeping you from being delivered from the depression and discouragement. This is like the first rung on the ladder. You got to start at the bottom and work your way up. And if you aren't trusting God with your finances, it can be a blockage, a hindrance towards everything else. And we also taught that from Mark chapter 10 about the rich young ruler. Let's go back to Luke chapter 16. This is the parable about the unjust steward. And I've referred to this a couple of times, but we haven't actually taught on it yet. So let's look at this in Luke chapter 16. In verse 1 it says, "And he said," this is talking about Jesus, "said unto his disciples, there was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, how is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I'm ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship." Now this says a lot right here, because he knew he was going to be put out of the stewardship. He was guilty. And so that right here, this verse shows you that he was guilty of what he had been accused over. He says that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him. Now it only gives us two examples here, but this was a rich man that he was working for. And so I believe that this is just like it's a sampling. He discounted some people's bill, 50%, other people's bill, 20% or whatever. But it says he called every one of the Lord's debtors unto him and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill and sit down quickly and write 50. And he said to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill and write 80. So what he did, he discounted these debts that people owed his master. He used his position of being steward for his master. And basically, he didn't quit stealing money. He kept stealing money. But now, instead of putting the money in his pocket, he was putting the money in the pockets of people who owed his master money. And the logic behind this was he knew when he got put out of the stewardship, he'd be able to go to these people and knock on their door and say, do you remember that I discounted your bill 50%? Do you remember I discounted your bill 20%? And by doing this, these people would feel obligated to him, and he'd be able to mooch off them and live with them and eat their food. And so he was taking his position and the money that he had responsibility over, and he, in a sense, was bribing people with this money. Now, up until this point in the story, this isn't really that unusual. People have stolen money from their master. They have used money that they were managing to bribe people and influence people. And those kind of things have happened before. But what really makes this story unique is the Lord's response. Not talking about our Heavenly Father, but this master that he was working for. It says in verse 8, "And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light." Now, I'm going to have to say something. There's two things here I want to say out of this eighth verse, that this passage of Scripture has probably become one of my favorite passages of Scripture. I've gotten great revelation out of this verse, and yet, at one time, this was one of the hardest passages in the Bible for me. I couldn't understand why this master would commend his servant for stealing money from him and giving it to other people. And so I can understand that this might be something that has never ministered to you, but if you could just open up your heart to what I'm about to say right here, this could provide you with revelation that would really impact your life. This has been a major deal to me. So there's two things I want to say out of this eighth verse. First of all, I want to talk about the master and why he found something to commend the servant over, or really the attitude that was on the inside of him that caused him to be able to commend his servant. And then I want to talk about what the servant had done that warranted getting a commendation from this master. First of all, let me just point this out. This master had had his servant stealing money from him. He had heard about this, and so he said, "Get your books together and come in here, and I'm going to examine your books, and if what I've heard is true, you're going to be fired." And so this master was, antagonistic towards this guy, getting ready to fire him, and this guy didn't quit stealing money. He still stole the money, but now instead of putting it in his pocket, he began to start taking his master's money and bribing people with it and preparing for his future when he got fired from that position. And in a situation like this, the master complimented this guy who had been stealing money from him and giving it to other people. Now, let me just point this out, and I think that this really bears some thought. If somebody was stealing money from you, let's say that you walked into your house and found a crook in your house, and he had a whole pillowcase full of your gold and jewelry and different things like this, and if he was just ransacking your house and you found that crook in there, how many of you would find something to compliment this guy over? Amen. I doubt if there's probably anybody watching this program that would be your first response. No, when you see people stealing things from you, immediately most people are highly offended. They feel violated, especially if it's in the privacy of your own home and things like this. And people just get incensed over things like this. And I mean, this warps people. Some of them never get over it the rest of their life. Here is a master that found a guy who was stealing from him. The guy continued to steal from him, and yet the master found something to compliment him over. Now, that's rare. And you know what I think that this says? This expresses an attitude that I've been trying to present for the last 2 weeks. When we were talking about Abraham, how Abraham had these tens of millions of dollars worth of gold, silver, spoil, the garments, and all of these things in the 14th chapter of the book of Genesis. And it was rightfully his. He put his life on the line. His servants were the one that did the fighting. And the king of Sodom came to him and says, "You take all of the bounty, all of the spoils, just give us back our people, and you can have these millions of dollars worth of spoil." And Abraham said, "I'm not even going to take a thread from a single garment. I won't take a shoestring from anybody's shoe. I am not going to take anything lest somebody think that they made Abram rich." He was expressing that God was his source. And see, when God is your source, you don't hoard things. You don't hold things the way that other people do. If a person sees themselves as the source of their prosperity and they look at all of the things that they have and say, "I did this and this is my hard work," and they see their effort and they see all of this abundance as a result of only what they've done. If they don't recognize it's God's blessing, it's God that gave them the health, God that gave them their talents, God gave them the opportunities. A person who is not seeing God as their source is fearful about losing what they have. There isn't any security in it. You know, let me just unplug here and make a point to promote this. Bob Yandian, a good friend of mine, he was with me over in England back in October, and he ministered at our ministers' conference, and he brought this out just beautifully. I won't take time to do it all, but he contrasted David. David was a man who had nothing. He used to keep sheep for his father, you know, and then he was made king, and for a long period of time, he ran for his life and basically had nothing. And then he became king, and he had all of this abundance. And at one time, David gave over the equivalent of $2 billion, not from the government treasuries, but from his own personal account towards the building of the temple. David came from nothing and was super prosperous, and he slept good at night. He's the one that wrote that, you know, you'll lay down and sleep, and your sleep will be sweet. The Lord gives His beloved sleep. David was able to sleep. His son Solomon came along, and Solomon started out well, but then he was turned away from God. He became an idol worshiper, built temples for different idols and all of these kind of things. And in contrast to David, you can read over in the Song of Solomon, I believe it's chapter 5, it says that there were 60 men that surrounded his bed every night with drawn swords to protect him. Solomon was the richest man on the face of the earth. It says that ever will be on the face of the earth. So you can look at anybody today and they never have prospered as much as Solomon did. The scripture says that in Solomon's day that silver was nothing. They threw it on the street and it was a rock just like, you know, granite or anything else. They didn't even account for silver in his days. Everything was so prosperous that gold was the only thing that amounted to anything. Solomon was the richest man on the face of the earth, and yet he didn't have any peace with it. See, he had turned away from God. This was his wealth. It was God was still the source of all of these things, but he didn't acknowledge God as the source. He started worshiping other idols and was turned away from the true and living God by all of these pagan women that he married. And anyway, because of that, see, there wasn't any security. He had 60 people stand around his bed. There isn't any mention that David had people stand around his bed. And yet David was also very prosperous. One saw God as his source. God was the source of both of their prosperity, but one recognized it and because of it was able to sleep. The other one couldn't. I'm saying that a person who feels like they have to scratch and claw and stab in the back and it's all their effort and they are trusting in themselves, those people don't sleep good at night. Those people don't have the security. Those people aren't like this master who are detached enough from their money that they can find something to compliment a thief over. Most people are so tied to their money. I've used this example before, but it's just like there's a string that goes from your heart to your wallet that if a person touches your wallet, boy, they touch your heart. You feel it down deep. That's the way that most people live. And you know what? That's wrong. This master, the very fact that here he was, had a guy, and he was dealing with it. He was a steward. He realized that, you know, you just can't turn your back and let people steal you blind. He was dealing with it. But when he saw this man finally make a right decision, he was detached enough from his money that instead of thinking about all of the money that was leaving his pocket and going to other people in bribes and all of these things, he was objective enough, detached enough from his money that he was able to compliment this steward. And let me just say that there's very few people today that are like that. Most people, when they get something, it's like, man, they hold on to it. It's like they've got a clenched fist. They don't have an open fist. You know, you have to have an open fist to receive. And if you're holding on to things and clenching on to them, then that means that, you know what, you aren't in a receiving mode. You think that this is yours. You fought for it. You're going to defend it. This rich man, I believe, had this revelation that I've been trying to get across and recognize that God was his source. And it didn't matter what this man did to him. If he was doing something wrong, he'd deal with it because that's being a good steward himself. And so he would deal with the people under him, but He wasn't heartbroken over the money that had been stolen from him. He wasn't heartbroken over things. He knew that God was his source. You know, I've used this logic before, too, but it's similar to that story about the guy that found the goose that laid the golden egg. If you've got the goose, you aren't that concerned about a golden egg. If somebody took one from you, well, the goose would produce another one. Once you understand that the real asset isn't the financial things that the blessing of God produces, but rather it's the blessing of God that makes you rich. This is what Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18 says. It says, "But you shall remember the Lord your God, for it is He that gives you the power to get wealth, that He might establish His covenant." God doesn't give you money per se. What He does is give you the power, the anointing, the ability to prosper. And it's this ability to prosper that is the real asset. You know, I don't know if you're getting what I'm saying, but this is really powerful stuff. This is different than what most people think. Most people evaluate their prosperity based on how much, you know, their house cost, how many cars they've got, what kind of cars they are, their savings, their investments, and they look at all of these kind of things. Really, what makes a person prosperous is whether or not God's blessing is on your life. And you can go through a downturn. Some of you might have experienced a financial loss during this time, but if you are truly trusting in God and not trusting in your riches, then nothing has changed for you, because the blessing of God that got you this money in the first place that you've lost, well, the same God is still with you. His same anointing is on you, and that same God who gave you all of this blessing in the first place can get it back to you. See, when your faith isn't in your assets, it's not in what you possess, but it's in your faith in God. He's the one that gave you what you possess. And if you lost it all, you'll get it back. It's no big deal. I tell you, that is a powerful position to be in. That's a great place to be in, and not very many people live there. Back in 2002, my wife and I were evacuated from our house because we had these fires, 144,000 acres, I think it was, and it started just a few miles from my house. And they evacuated us, mandatory evacuation. A lot of our neighbors got U-Haul trucks and loaded up all of their furniture and everything. We went and got our important papers and pictures that couldn't be replaced, and we prayed over our house, and we believed that God was going to protect us, and He did, and our house was just fine. But as we were getting ready to leave, I was so blessed because Jamie just looked at me and she said, "I agree with your prayer. I believe that God's protecting our house, that we'll have everything here." But she says, "You know, it's just stuff." And she said, "If we lost this house, if we lost everything that we have, we had fun getting it, and it'd be fun to get it back." Man, I just can't tell you what that did for me. I was getting ready to go on a meeting. We just moved up and moved into a friend's house, and I headed straight to the airport. And here was Jamie. And some of you don't know Jamie well enough, but I mean, Jamie, we got a great house, and Jamie has, I couldn't tell you, but thousands, tens of thousands of knickknacks. If we were to move, it'd take one 18-wheeler to haul off all of her little knickknacks and another 18-wheeler to haul off the furniture. I mean, she's got that house so personalized. That's our house. We built it. It's the first house that we ever really owned. She loves it. She's got everything done just exactly the way that she wants it. And for her to just be detached and say it was fun getting it, and it'd be fun doing it again. You know what? That's the attitude that this master had. He had assets, and he was taking action and dealing with a person who wasn't following his instructions and administering his finances properly. But he wasn't so married to, holding tight to that money that it was affecting him emotionally. He was still objective, and he was able to say, "You know, it's just money." The blessing of God is what made him rich. And if somebody took it from him, he'd get it all back. And because of that, he was able to be objective and look at this and actually find something to compliment the thief over. I tell you, that's rare as hen's teeth. That's amazing. And you know, to a degree, I can't say that I've arrived in this, but to a degree, I believe that this same principle is working in my life. And that's what Jamie was referring to. Man, we had, for the first time in our life, a house that, you know, we designed, we built it. It was our dream home. It's a beautiful place. I like it, all these things. But it's just stuff. And it was the blessing of God that enabled us to get it. And if that was taken from us, I'd have gotten it back. And I'd have gotten it back even bigger and better. It would have been better. I'm just not married to things. My trust isn't in those things. I don't get my satisfaction. I don't get my contentment from things. I've got things, but they don't have me. I think that that is something that needs to be pointed out in this situation, is the attitude of the master to be able to sit there and find something to compliment a thief over. That would be the equivalent of somebody breaking into your home, waking you up in the middle of the night, you hearing them going through and getting all the silverware or whatever. And you walk in and you say, you know, I just, first of all, have to compliment you that you really did a great job getting around our security system. I didn't even hear you at first or something. That'd be similar to a guy like that that just doesn't feel threatened, doesn't feel intimidated by it. It's just stuff. Man, what a great place to be. And I know that there are some of you watching this program right now that that's not the way you feel. Boy, you fought, you clawed, you worked to get what you've got. And if somebody was to steal some of yours, you would be incensed. You would be livid. You couldn't think rationally. You'd certainly not find anything to compliment the person over. And you know what? I just believe that that's a wrong attitude. You need to get to a place where you enjoy the blessing. You enjoy the things that God has given to you, but you hold them lightly. Instead of in a clenched fist, you just hold things with an open fist, and if they leave, it's no big deal. God's got more. God will bless you. You know, there may be somebody watching this program that you've lost something in the stock market. Maybe it's not just the stock market. Maybe somebody has physically stolen from you. Maybe somebody took advantage of you. Maybe you've been through a divorce and you've lost everything, and you're just sitting here thinking of what you've lost and thinking it's gone. How will I ever get it back? If you would tap into what we're talking about and recognize that you're just a steward, that God is your source, God is going to prosper you. And if you would put your faith in God, God can return to you anything that you've lost. And then you can live a life where you can sleep at night. You don't have to have 60 people standing around your bed with drawn swords guarding you because you're so afraid somebody's coming after your prosperity. Man, you can go to sleep and recognize God's your source. God gave it to you. God will keep it. And if for whatever reason you lose it, God will give it back to you with interest. It's just not a big thing. As long as you've got the Lord, you don't have to worry about all of the external benefits that knowing the Lord produces. You can receive this power that God has given you to get wealth. And that's the real asset, not the wealth that it produces. It's that relationship with God. I tell you, that is a powerful truth I've expressed today. And this is just over the heads of most people. Most people can't even think this way. But if you will open up your heart, I believe that the Holy Spirit will bear witness and explain what I've talked about. And this could be a turning point in your relationship with God. Now, I've got more materials on this. I'd like to encourage you to listen as our announcer gives you information about how you can get this album entitled Financial Stewardship. And so we'll have a number on your screen, so please call or write and receive those materials, and then join me again tomorrow as we continue the gospel truth.
Andrew's teaching titled Financial Stewardship is available in a 6-part CD album, or it's available in a DVD album made from Andrew's daily TV broadcast. Each is available for a gift of any amount. Request CD album T1052C or DVD album T1052D when you contact the ministry. The third teaching in the audio CD album, The Unjust Steward, is also available for a gift of any amount. We encourage everyone to send a gift, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third CD free of charge. Request teaching number T017C when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you.
I'm sure that many of you today have recognized that, man, this is just a totally different perspective than what you've ever had, what most people have. And you know, the Word of God is just full of things like this, not only in the area of finances, but healing, deliverance, your relationships, just all kinds of things. And I'd like to encourage you that probably the best way the most detailed or comprehensive way we have of getting the Word of God and these truths into you is through our Charis Bible Colleges. And we have not only the school here in Colorado Springs, but we have 12 different schools scattered around the world with more coming online. And we have online Bible school. There's a lot of different ways that you can take advantage of this, but it would be a real blessing to you. So please call that number that you see on your screen and inquire about one of our Charis Bible Colleges.
You can use your credit card to order by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are from 4 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. Or you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials online 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. On our website, you'll not only find materials from today's broadcast, you'll find a wealth of ministry resources available to you. If you prefer to write to us, our address is Andrew Womack Ministries, P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934. We appreciate your generosity. We hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in Colorado Springs this week for the Charis Bible College weekend, March 12th through the 14th. He'll also be in Merritt Island, Florida, April 19th through the 22nd, Chicago, Illinois, May 7th through the 9th, and in Raleigh, North Carolina for a Gospel Truth Seminar, June 11th through the 13th. And in Colorado Springs for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, June 29th through July 3rd. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net. I'd like to invite you to join me for our Summer Family Bible Conference. It's going to be June the 29th through July the 3rd. It's at our facility here in Colorado Springs. It starts on a Monday night. We have a special barbecue for those of you that have children. We have great children's ministry. There are special room rates available at different hotels. So remember, this is June the 29th through July the 3rd right here in Colorado Springs. Why not plan a vacation this year around the Word of God? Call 719-635-1111 for complete information. We hope to see you in Colorado Springs this summer. Be sure to tune in tomorrow for more Gospel Truth.
The greatest use of your money is to take it and touch people's lives, specifically to touch people's lives with the gospel. See people born again, delivered, set free, healed.